Genesis chapter 12, verse 9 through chapter 13, verse 4. Thomas Edison was one of the greatest inventors in American history. He invented the phonograph, the motion picture, a certain type of light bulb, just to name a few. But he was so successful that someone once asked him if he ever failed at anything, to which he gave this famous reply, "I never failed, I just found 10,000 things that don't work." Well, that sounds good on the surface, but we know the truth. The truth is, all of us have failed. Maybe you failed at school. Maybe you failed at a business or at a job. Maybe you failed in marriage or at home. But let me tell you something that all of us have failed at some point in our lives. We have all failed to trust God. There's been some time in our life, some crisis that we experience where we should have trusted God, but we simply failed to do so. Our faith in that moment faltered. Well, guess who else failed to trust God? Abraham. Even Abraham. And it ought to encourage us to know that even Abraham's faith faltered from time to time. Even Abraham struggled to trust God, because if God was so patient with Abraham, then we can trust that God will also be patient with us. Last week we started looking at the life of Abraham, and we talked about walking by faith. Abraham is probably the greatest example in all of the Bible of what it means to walk by faith. But even Abraham had to learn how to walk by faith. It was not automatic. It took time. Because when you are learning how to walk, there's going to be some tripping involved. There's going to be some stumbling along the way. And in our passage of scripture this morning, we're going to look at one of Abraham's stumbles. We're going to look at a time in his life where he simply failed to trust God. His faith faltered. And in the process, we're going to see some things that we need to remember when we are tested and our faith would falter as well. So first of all, when that time comes, you need to remember the purpose of your trials. You need to remember the purpose of your trials. Look with me at Genesis chapter 12, verse 9. "So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land." If you were with us last week, you know it took Abraham a while to finally get where God wanted him to be. But finally, he made it. He's there. And then what happened? The Bible says that there's a famine. And not just a famine, but a severe famine. We don't read anything about a famine when Abraham was in Ur. We don't read anything about a famine when Abraham was in Haran. But as soon as he gets to Canaan, he finally gets where God wants him. And what happens? There's a famine. You want to talk about confusing. This is not what Abraham expected to happen. I can just hear him saying, "Okay, God, I did what you told me to do. I left the comfort of home in Ur, and I came to Canaan, so it's supposed to get easier now, right? Besides, God, you promised to bless me. Okay, here I am. I'm ready. Bless away." You know, some people think that when they follow Christ or when they get right with God, their problems are going to go away, and what they often discover is they actually get a new set of problems. They have new problems, but they also have a new source of strength, and they have new mercies, and they have new grace. Well, what's going on here? Abraham's faith is being tested. And it's one thing to have faith when it's smooth sailing all the time. It's another thing to have faith in the midst of the storm. We know this is where God wants Abraham to be, because God told Abraham, go to the place that I will show you. He got to Canaan, and then and there the Lord spoke to him and said, this is it. This is the land that I'm giving to you and to your descendants. This is where God wants him. This is the place where Abraham built an altar. And this is the place where it says that he called on the name of the Lord. Abraham encountered God in this place. You know, you've probably heard it said, but it's worth repeating. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not keep you. God's will took Abraham to Canaan, and God's grace will keep him there, but trouble has come. And what is Abraham going to do? How's he going to respond? Will he remain where God wants him and trust God to sustain him during the famine? Will he call on the Lord? Or will he take matters into his own hands? Well, what did Abraham do? Notice in verse 10, it says that he went down to Egypt. That's a key word there. And there's probably some symbolism here, because you will notice over and over again, when it says that someone in the Bible went to Egypt, you'll notice they always went down to Egypt. Doesn't matter what direction they were coming from. They went down to Egypt. Now, that was true in a physical sense, but that was also true spiritually. Going down to Egypt again and again in the Bible is a picture of one trusting in man and not in God. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to those who go down, notice that word, down to Egypt for help, and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Why does Abraham go down to Egypt? Well, in this case, going down to Egypt is a picture of Abraham not trusting God or seeking God. Going down to Egypt means Abraham stepping outside of God's will. Abraham has not yet learned that it's better to be in poverty in God's will than to have abundance while being outside of God's will. Abraham steps out of God's will, and before the story's over, he's going to make some very costly mistakes. And this happened in part because Abraham was asking the wrong question. Trials come into our lives. Many times there's a question that we will ask, but sometimes it's the wrong question. Let me tell you what the wrong question is to ask. The wrong question is, how can I get out of this? How can I get out of this? Isn't that a question that you often find yourself asking when life gets hard? There's suffering, there's a famine. Abraham wants to know, how can I get out of this? A lot of people just assume the moment things get difficult, surely that must be a sign that God is calling me to move. You know what that is? That is a bad assumption. What did God want? God wanted Abraham not to move. He wanted Abraham to trust him right where he was. And so when your circumstances get difficult, what do? You stay where God puts you until God moves you. Abraham was asking the wrong question. Now, here's the right question. The right question is not, how can I get out of this, but what can I get out of this? What does God want to accomplish? What does God want me to learn? In what way can I trust him in this? You see, the purpose of your trials is not to destroy you. The purpose of your trials is to test you and to strengthen you and to develop your character, to grow your faith, to sanctify you, to mold you into the man or woman that God wants you to be. And so this is the question that we must be asking. When you are struggling and your faith is on the brink, remember the purpose of your trials and ask that question, what can I get out of this? Now, there's a second thing you need to remember that we see in our passage. You need to remember the consequences of your departure. You need to understand the consequences of your departure, because the moment you depart from God's will for your life, there will be some consequences to that. The moment Abraham leaves Canaan for Egypt, things begin to go spiritually downhill. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say, 'You are my sister,' that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." This is why Abraham was never hired to write Hallmark cards. Egypt was a very dangerous place, and Pharaoh had a very bad reputation. And Abraham learned at some point that Pharaoh is the kind of king who sees what he likes and he takes what he wants, and that applies to women as well. His wife, whom we refer to as Sarah, was apparently a very beautiful woman. And so Abraham knew that if Pharaoh saw her and liked her, he would just take her. And if she was married, he would just kill the husband. This is the situation that Abraham put himself into when he left Canaan. And he winds up learning a lesson through all of this that we need to learn as well. It goes like this. When you step out of God's will, you step away from God's blessings. When you step out of God's will, you step away from God's blessings. God promised, he promised to bless Abraham, but he will not bless Abraham's disobedience. He won't do it. Now, this should have been a sign to Abraham that he needed to turn around and go back to Canaan. But instead, he came up with this crazy idea. I'm not sure, but I think when Abraham left Canaan behind, he left his common sense behind as well. And it's as if he has lost his bearings and he can no longer tell his left from his right. He can no longer tell right side up from upside down. By the way, when you get outside of God's will for your life, you know what? You will find a way to justify absolutely anything. So Abraham says to his wife, when we get to Egypt, don't tell them you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. Now, folks, there are some things that just do not go together in life. Jalapenos and chocolate do not go together. Electric guitars and oboes do not go together. Let me tell you something else that does not go together. Honey, you're beautiful. Let's pretend we're not married. Those two things should never, ever, ever go together. Well, that's exactly what Abraham does here. Now, Sarah was actually his half-sister, which would make what Abraham is saying a half-truth. But how many of you understand that a half-truth is the most dangerous kind of lie that there is? It'll get you in the most trouble. And so, what is Abraham doing here? He's replacing trusting in God with scheming. And notice his justification in verse 13. He wants her to do this so it will go well with me. So I will live. I mean, are you thinking what I'm thinking when I read that? What about Sarah? Shouldn't he have been thinking about her? I mean, we want to ask Abraham, what is going on in your head? I mean, think about the thought process that went into this. Abraham goes towards Egypt and he says, okay, there's two options. Door number one, door number two. Door number one, we go to Egypt. They think Sarah is my wife. They abduct her and kill me. That's door number one. Door number two, we go to Egypt. They think that Sarah is my sister. They abduct her, but they don't kill me. You see something wrong with this? In both scenarios, his wife gets abducted. Here's an idea. If doing blank puts your wife in danger, don't do it. While I'm here, time out, ladies. You can cover your ears for just a moment. Men, a word of counsel, okay? If doing blank, fill in the blank, does not benefit your wife or bless your wife or make her feel protected or loved, that is a good sign. God does not want you to do it. Well, how does Abraham's plan go? Look at verse 14. So it was, when Abraham came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. How did it happen? Exactly the way Abraham knew that it would happen. Sarah was taken into Pharaoh's house, and it was the grace of God that she was not taken to Pharaoh's bed. But what a terrible situation this was. I mean, it's bad enough that you have Sarah, a believer, a married woman, in Pharaoh's house. But what makes this even worse? This is the woman who is supposed to give birth to the child who will lead to this nation, which will bring us the Messiah, Jesus Christ, through whom we will have salvation and forgiveness and eternal life, and through whom all of the nations of the world shall be blessed. And there's danger here. There's danger that this promised seed is going to be corrupted. The gospel is at stake here. But there's some good news. Abraham was at his worst, but God was at his best. Abraham was being unfaithful, but praise the Lord, God is always faithful. And God will not allow his plans to fail or his promises to be broken. So look at what God does to fix this mess that Abraham's created. In verse 17, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Verse 17 says, the Lord plagued Pharaoh. We don't know what kinds of plagues these were, but that's not the point. The point is they were, quote, great plagues. They were so great, even Pharaoh could tell what was going on. Even Pharaoh could put 2 + 2 together. The plagues came when Sarah came. And he concluded, rightly so, that this was not an accident, that the God of Abraham must somehow be involved. And you know the sad part about this story? This pagan king had more spiritual discernment in this particular moment than Abraham did. The lost person is behaving better than the saved person. This is Pharaoh rebuking Abraham for his lying and for his lack of faith in God. You know, someone said that Abraham lost two things in all of this. He probably lost a lot more, but someone said Abraham lost two things in this. He lost time, because whenever you step out of God's will for your life, whenever you stray and you take one of those detours, it's always time wasted. He lost time, but he also lost his testimony. Abraham should have been a witness to the Egyptians. Abraham should have been a witness to Pharaoh. But that's not what happened. Pharaoh called in Abraham. He confronts Abraham. Abraham confesses his sin. I imagine his face blushing, his head hanging low, and Pharaoh says to him, "Get out of my country." And I can just imagine, as Abraham walks away, Pharaoh saying to himself, "If that is a follower of Yahweh, I hope I never meet another one." Folks, when you are struggling and your faith would falter, you need to remember the consequences of your departure. You need to remember that your sin does not just affect you. It also affects those around you. It affects those who are closest to you. It affects those who look up to you. It affects those who love you. Abraham's sin affected Sarah. I wonder how she must have felt, how devalued she must have felt, how unloved she must have felt in all of this. Abraham's sin affected his nephew Lot. I personally wonder if he ever got over this, seeing all of the riches in Egypt and all of the temporary pleasures of sin. I wonder if that's why later on Lot chose Sodom. And don't tell me, but hey, Abraham went back with all those treasures that Pharaoh had heaped upon him. Yeah, but one of the things Abraham brought back with him that he didn't come with was a handmaiden by the name of Hagar. We haven't gotten to that part of the story yet, but if you've read Genesis, you know that later on, she's going to be a major stumbling block in his life. She would have not even been in the picture if Abraham had not strayed from God's will during this episode of his life. You never know how that spiritual detour that you're going to take, when you stray from God's will, when you get away from God, you never know how that's going to affect you deep into the future. You need to remember the consequences of your departure. But there's one more thing that we need to remember in those moments when we're tested and when our faith falters. We need to remember, you need to remember the possibility of your return. The possibility of your return. I'm so glad that this story does not end at the end of chapter 12. If you want to see the end of the story, you got to go to chapter 13. Look at what it says in chapter 13, verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Where was Abram before the famine came? He was in Canaan, outside of Bethel, which means what? House of God. You were paying attention. Praise the Lord. House of God. Where does Abraham wind up at the end of the story? Right back where he started. right outside of Bethel, house of God. Back to that place where God had spoken to him. Back to that place where his fellowship with God was strong. Back to the altar. There was no altar mentioned in Ur. There was no altar in Haran. There was no altar in Egypt. But here is the altar. And what is he doing there? He's back to calling upon the Lord. He's back at worship. He's back on his knees. And the text doesn't explicitly say this, but I can just imagine Abraham coming back to that place, getting right with God, and then asking himself and asking God, God, why did I ever leave? Abraham was forced to leave Egypt, but listen, he chose to return to Canaan because he knew it wasn't too late to go back. Folks, when you've gotten away from God and you're outside of God's will, the only solution is to go back to where you left him. Identify and go back to that place where you strayed, acknowledge it, and confess it. Maybe you're like Abraham this morning. Maybe there was a time when you were once so close to God, and you regularly spent time with God, and you enjoyed God, and you were used by God. But then, as is often the case, adversity came, some trials took place, and instead of remaining where God put you, you drifted, you went down to your own Egypt looking for a little bit of peace and security. Hey, if you're in Egypt this morning, I've got four words for you. Get out and go back. Get out, go back. Like Abraham, sometimes your faith is going to falter, I guarantee you. But folks, here's the good news. Though we fail, God doesn't deal with us according to our failures. Listen to what it says in Psalm 103, verse 10. It says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Here's the good news. If you are in Christ, if you've been saved, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us according to his mercy and his grace. You know, there is no earthly father who would ever introduce his children to someone and say, well, this is my daughter Sally who stained the carpet when she was 3 years old. This is my son Johnny who broke that vase when he was five. Earthly fathers don't feel the need to memorize all of their children's faults. Good ones don't anyway. And likewise, if you have received God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, know that he forgets our failures. And yes, we may fall, but God never fails. And so when your faith falters, you need to remember the purpose of your trials. God is growing you. You need to remember the consequences of your departure. It's going to cost you to get outside of God's will. Oh, but most of all, remember the possibility of your return. It's not too late to come back to that place of closeness and intimacy with God. So do it now. Join me as we pray.